Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, aren't you glad he showed up tonight? And we're glad you did as well. And all of you that are watching. I am so thankful that Jesus is here. And the Holy Spirit is here. And our Father is here. And I am really glad that my beautiful wife is here with me. Candy, would you please stand up? Hallelujah. So that's 46 years of love right there. Hallelujah. They had said the other day, and all the millennials and the young people are like, woo. I said, there's still salsa there. And hallelujah. So June will be 46 years. We started dating when we were 17 maybe, and 16. And we fell in love, and it's just gotten gooder and gooder. Hallelujah. And so I appreciate her so much. She's her biggest ministry. Now, she works full-time for the church. You could say part-time, but that'd be a misnomer. She spends more time in her office than I do. And she's working late after hours after I'm, you know, whatever. After I'm sitting there watching Matt Dillon, she's still doing something to Matt. So I appreciate her so much. But she'd say her biggest, and she is an intercessor. She won't call herself that, but she is, and loves God, follows God. And I think her biggest ministry that she believes is her call is taking care of this man right here. And she does, and she loves me incredibly. I love her so much. And but if there's anybody that she might, that I'm in stiff competition, besides for Jesus, of course, and he's number one, but the next number one in her life is probably her grandkids. And we have a bunch of them. We have two beautiful daughters, and we're so thankful that they love the Lord, are working with us in the ministry, and two son-in-laws that love the Lord and support the ministry and part of it. And then all of our grandkids, they're just, we just love following Christ and having a church that our grandkids are a big part of, and our children. Love all of you that are watching, all of the Family Prayer Center, the elders, and all of the church, you know, worldwide, wherever you're at. And thank you for being part of this conference. Jim and Kathy, thank you again. Every year we appreciate, and not only you, but all the staff and the elders and everybody that has anything to do with helping put this on. We really appreciate. And all of you that are watching Family Prayer Center, and everyone that is part of the Family Prayer Center, and you're part of everything that is going on here, and we appreciate that so much. I've come to appreciate so much what God does through streaming these days. We have a wonderful church, and so much is going on, but I realize as people communicate with me weekly, all the wonderful things that are taking place, and people that have been with us all over, really all over the United States and around the world, and things that are happening. We gave a call the other day in one of our services. People were saved. The next Sunday, people were filled with the Spirit, and we were enjoying that, the people that were filled with the Spirit, present tense, in the service. But a man got in touch with me that I know is part of our weekly services, that we're his church, and he watches us and his family, his wife and two kids. And he said, you know, when you gave that appeal to be filled with the Spirit, which was at the end of that second service on that second Sunday, he said, my son, which is 10 years old, and he named him, he said, he was listening intently, and he said that he just, as soon as you said come forward, he got up out of his seat, ran up to the TV, and as soon as you prayed for everybody, he got gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit and just started praying in tongues. So streaming works. God goes through the cameras, and hallelujah. We hear from people. A man got in touch with me, or a person got in touch with me the other day out of British Columbia, and they said, we're such a part of your church, and we just anticipate every service. They said, even our little dog comes over and lays down and gets ready for service when they see you come on. So hallelujah. So I appreciate all of you being here, and my beautiful wife. If I kind of preach to this side of the auditorium tonight, it's not because I'm neglecting you. I just don't want to be distracted. Pastor, you may have to have one of your elders remove this lady and take her to the back of the church. We appreciate Harry and Sarah Plamondon. There they are. I was looking all over for you. Harry is our worship leader, and Sarah is part of that worship team. She also does all my editing, and she's a big part of helping labor with Candy on prophecies and teaching letters and all kinds of sorts of wonderful things. I'm going to ask them to come for just a few minutes and just minister to us. And I don't know what they have planned, but it's I'm sure it's in the spirit. And so let's just worship along with them. I'm sure they don't want to perform. They want to worship. So hallelujah. Amen.
You alone are
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Harry grew up in our church. He was about 2 or 3 years old when his mom and dad first started coming there. And then these guys, you guys met at one of the Tulsa conferences. So hallelujah. Talk about a wonderful arranged marriages. Your mom and dad, Jeff and Tina Glimber, are here, and they're someplace taking care of the new addition. Yeah, so we flew to Texas, Phoenix. How long have you guys been married? 7 years. Yeah, 7 years. That's crazy. It's amazing. Hallelujah. So thank you so much. We appreciate that. Glory to God. Amen. So wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. I do have my printed version. Glory to God. I'm not going to read no electronic version in this pulpit. It'd probably spit it out. Amen. Well, Candy, she had some wisdom on that a while back. It's not that I don't read off electronic, and I'll do a lot of that in my private study. And especially if I've got, you know, if I'm doing word searches or different things, it's real easy to go to different places. But she said, you know, especially when she was admonishing the church one time, she said our kids growing up, to them, you know, we may have a Bible app on there, and I've got several different Bibles on my cell phone or my laptop, but when you're sitting there, and this is not the sermon, she was just talking about the recognition of the power of that written page, but the kids, they see that cell phone or that electronic device as just another electronic device, and they don't see the example nowadays, most of the time, where parents and aunts and uncles and grandpas are pulling out the written word and putting it in front of them so they're seeing, like, okay, that's the Word of God. Yeah. And I'm not saying the Word of God's not in that electronic device. I'm not saying that. But example means a lot in this day and hour. So, hallelujah. Met Jim Martin. I don't know how much we met. We probably occasionally just a passing in 1997. And as he said this morning, that was the first conference Gary spoke. A lot of things happened in 1997. It's a pivotal year. I'm only mentioning that to say this. I really believe with all my heart that 2024 is a very pivotal year also. And it's not just that we have a national election that's coming up, which I believe has a lot of ramifications for our future. It won't dictate the revival. It may have a lot to do with reformation, which is a change in the government. But only spiritual things really dictates, and our prayers, our intercessions, you going forward, really dictates the spiritual application of the revival. But more than ever before, I believe with all my heart that we are on the precipice of this outpouring. I believe that these meetings are more than ever before destined by God, and you watching tonight, we're destined for a purpose. If you're on this path and he hasn't been able to run you off by now, and if you're here, he hasn't run you off, and some are returning, but wherever you're at, if you're on this path going forward, then the Holy Spirit is continually reminding us, stay the course. Stay the course and stay in there and do everything that is necessary. What we've heard, what we've seen against all contradictions, personally, nationally, the contradictions that are not contradictions, but the enemy presents them as contradictions of where's the revival? Where's your personal healing? Where's your personal deliverance as far as out of the test or the depth of the test that you're going through. And all of the fight that the enemy would wage against the church, it's all for a purpose to see if he can get us to stop. But we're not going to stop. And there is a part of everything that he is trying to get across to us, and I believe even in these services and tonight and going forward in this week, that there's an application of his spirit in many of the things that we know that are to fuel, that is to help us more than ever before find that God is really moving in our life, that he's really moving in our confessions, that he's really moving in our prayer times. And I think that it's, I don't want to say the missing element, but it is something that is oftentimes preached and taught, and it's often taught here and in our services. But we want to continue to talk about the subject. I say continue. This is my first time to speak at this conference, but it's already the Lord began to speak last night about his presence. And I believe that if there's anything that is going to be part of this outpouring, this present day outpouring, that it's going to be the presence of the Holy Spirit that is going to begin to bring a fullness, a saturation, not just to our services, but to our life and lives as men and women of God that are saying, Lord, I'm on this path and I want everything that you want for me. And I want to be diligent. I want to continue to stay diligent. But what can I add to? What is one of the things that is foundational, that's absolutely foundational, that will ensure my success in being here and being part of the outpouring? I mean, how many of you want to? I'm going to ask a redundant question, but how many of you want to be in the thick of the outpouring? I mean, you're just right in there. Laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, and seeing the presence of God bring people into our sanctuaries and our services that an atmosphere brings them in. And your part, you're the reason. You're going to be the reason why. For us to kind of look at our future, because I believe that our future is dictated and seen in our past, and what God wants us to understand as far as we're standing, as I said, on the precipice of something incredible. This outpouring, the Holy Spirit has said prophetically, is going to in some way supersede the book of Acts. In that sense of the word, there's, you know, everything was happening in the book of Acts, but we're believing for over a billion souls. That's one of our, we're not limiting God. We're saying over a billion souls on planet Earth being born again and the presence of God coming in a fullness. Now, let me say something. What we're believing for and what we prescribe or what we lay out in what we determine is revival is, we could rehearse it and say it up, the blind see, the lame walk, the, you know, on and on. Gary just absolutely nailed it when he said, you know, there's certain the people that we know, the Tommy Perez, the Homer Betancourts, the different ones, that until they get fully restored, we're not going to lower the bar and take anything less. That's the fullness of what we determine revival. But going there, we understand that there's going to be different changes and waves of the Holy Spirit. And not every church, not every church that's going to be a recipient of the harvest is actually seeking what we're seeking as in full-blown manifestation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the outpouring in that sense of the word. But there are still going to be recipients. You know, the church down the street, the fundamentalists, they're still going to receive the overflow of where you and I are going. But this is coming, and it now is, and I believe it's already started in a very, very powerful way. But for us to see what the heart of God is, for us to fully participate in this, let's go back, I would say, to the very beginning. Sometimes starting at the beginning will help you look towards the future and get prepared for the future and what God wants to do. So turn with me to the book of beginnings. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll start there. And I'm very cognizantly aware of the clock, definitely don't have to preach all of this or teach all this tonight. I think we'll stay in this place for the rest of the week, at least on this particular subject, particularly on His presence and communion and the communion with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. But Genesis chapter 3, we're going to start here, and of course this is the fall of man, and we're going to read this together, and then we'll take off here. Let's just stretch your faith this way and just agree with me for the moment. Father, we worship You. We glorify You for the purpose of this outpouring. Teach us in this hour. Holy Spirit, more than ever before, we look to You, not of self. We ask You to lead, continue to guide us into all truth, Jesus. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we ask You to guide us into all these things and teach us the truth of the hour going forward for the purpose of revival. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, get ready to be used by God in this last hour. Get ready to do things that you, and see things that you never saw before. And it's beginning to ramp up. It's starting. But we want to know, Lord, what are the things from our foundation that we're to focus on more than ever before? What will be some of the catalyst? What will be, you know, Dave said that when we knew Dave in the 2.0 places where he was at, he said the last room that he ever walked into that he knew was the final call or the final place for revival was the room of presence and love. And out of that place of his presence, it just seemed to cause his faith. He was trying to interpret it, caused his faith to go to a place where all things were possible. Absolutely all things were possible. Well, let's look at the beginning of the heart of God. And if we can understand the heart of God even more, then we can understand our obedience to that heart going forward for the purpose of revival. Now, Genesis chapter 3, we understand, and we're not going to teach leading up to that creation, but we understand Genesis chapter 3 to be the fall of mankind. And we're going to start in verse 1, and it says this, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of the tree, every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman," he just plain out contradicted God. In other words, God's a liar. "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And of course, he was right there, and that's another message, and it's absolutely true. He was part of watching and seeing and analyzing analytically this whole thing. "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then we don't know how long the period of time between that moment in which they fell and realized that they had fallen, that they were naked, until verse 8. But it says here in verse 8 that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. I want to mention a few things here going forward. God has an incredible ability as we read this. It's amazing to present himself in an anonymity or a sense of living outside of his person, God almost hiding himself to live in the moment, to, I won't say act surprised. I know that God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. But living in the moment is an innate part of the sovereignty of God. He actually can know things, but yet also live in a present moment to participate in human affairs. And the word says here, as we just read, that they heard the voice of the Lord walking. Now this word voice here is a word that means, the root word means to call out, that the Lord called out. He was walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day, and he called out to them, and of course they're in their fallen state. But the next phrase here is really peculiar, and this is the one we want to study a little bit tonight and look at in particular. In the cool is one word in the Hebrew, if you look it up, and it's ruach. It's pronounced ruach. If you want to spell it for anybody writing notes, it's R-U-A-C-H. And I know it's ruach because I listened to a Hebrew person pronounce it. But ruach means this. It means wind. By resemblance, breath. That is a sensibility of life. It also means spirit. Now, the first place that ruach or ruach is first seen is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now you're right there, so let's look at ruach together one more time, and you'll understand where I'm going with this in just a moment. So the first place that we see this Hebrew word, ruach, is Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the ruach of God, that is Elohim, or the ruach, meaning Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. Spirit of God here is Elohim. So we see here, once again, reminding you that ruach means breath, spirit, or in this instance where it's speaking about God coming into the garden, we'll read this again, in the cool of the day. I want to get this across to you, if you can understand this, because the King James uses something here that kind of, you just if you read it in the cool of the day, you don't see this, but the word ruach means spirit, and in particularly in verse 2 of Genesis 1, it says the ruach of God, or the Spirit of God. So we've got to understand it in this sense, and this is what I want to pass on to you so we can go forward with this evening. In the cool of the day is to be understood as something far greater than just a moment in the time of the day. Is everybody still with me? Okay. So we want to understand that. It's not, if we read this, the cool of the day, but we're reading this as the ruach. God comes at the ruach. The ruach was the spirit, time, that God spent with Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:8, we actually could read it like this. I'm going to move forward. It could be read like this. At the Ruach, or, keep my notes here. It says, I missed my page here. It could read like this at truth. Okay, I see. My page is turned over. Genesis 3:8 could read this way. And they heard the voice of God calling out to them walking. Now I'm paraphrasing this and putting it now in my own words. This is not what your Bible says, but it's what the Hebrew would say. And they heard the voice of God calling out to them walking in the garden in the Ruach or spirit time of the day. The time of, you could say this, the time of presence, the time of intimacy. Somebody turn to somebody else and say, it was a time to be spent in intimacy. Good. You guys are good. And the Bible says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now let me just say this, and I know some of you are looking at this, and it's fine. But we have to understand that this isn't just telling us as this fall takes place that something else far greater, you know, the fall takes place, man is changed, he dies there. But we're looking into the beginning of creation and the purpose. This is part of the assignment for us to understand tonight, is that our very purpose, our very being, in which we have been created for, is for the Ruach of God. Spirit time. Time and presence. And from the very beginning, Adam and Eve were created in that expectation of having Ruach with God, or the King James says the cool of the day, but it was the spirit time. You can interpret it out in the Hebrew as spirit time, or time when God would visit, or Elohim would visit them in the garden. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. The first and the greatest of all travesties after the fall was hiding themselves from the presence or Ruach time. That was one of the greatest travesties of the fall, the injustices of the fall, was that man was created in God's image and after his likeness, and he was supposed to take dominion. But what we have to understand here by these verses in chapter 3 of the fall is that God is identifying himself as participating in something as in fellowship or in relationship in Ruach time or time of breath, wind. This is not just breath, wind. It's not cool of the day. This is Elohim starting in chapter 1. The breath or the spirit of God visiting them for fellowship, for relationship. Could we say intimacy? Could we say private worship? Could we say times of fellowship? Could we say presence of God? Could we say that all things were created for him and by him for the purpose of him having fellowship? Colossians. Could we say that the purpose of our very existence going all the way back to the garden and into the fall was the purpose that God, our Father, wanted to have fellowship with us for that purpose? The greatest in all, as I said, in all travesties after the fall was hiding themselves from the presence of God. Genesis 3:8 once again. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the Ruach of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The mystery, and I'm just going to read it like I have it because I probably couldn't say it any better if I tried, but the mystery of the creation, the mystery of the creation of man has always been about one thing, spirit time, fellowship, the Ruach of God, having presence and fellowship with his children. The mystery of creation was always intimacy with sons and daughters. Hallelujah. I know you're listening. You're quiet, but you're listening. The mystery of creation was always intimacy with sons and daughters. Listen, the law and the prophets, the gifts and the callings, which we're absolutely all for, never was the central theme of God. It was always about spirit time. That's what it's all about, really. In other words, and I'll say this in my notes in a better way, and we're going to read a prophecy in just a moment, but Adam and Eve were not created to be evangelists. The predestination or the, you know, obviously we know that God knew, right? Revelations 13:18, that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. We know Ephesians 1, that he predestined all of us in Christ from the foundation. God knew that all these things would take place. And so he had a plan for the church. He had a plan for the law and the prophets. But in the predeterminate plan of God's heart, what he created man for was fellowship. He wanted sons and daughters. He wanted presence. He wanted to lavish them with his presence. And so everything else is subsequential. It came into effect as a result of the fall. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. The law and the prophets and the gifts and the callings were never the central theme of God. It was always about spirit time. God's calling out of the Ruach or the spirit time implies that this was something of, when we read this, that God, they heard God in the cool of the day or the spirit time of the day, and God calls out to them. He's saying something, calling out to Adam. He's calling out to Eve. It implies that this was a thing of something of reputation and anticipation by God. It was repeated. It was something, I don't know how long it was before the creation and the fall. Doesn't sound like it, you know, as you read through these things, it doesn't sound like it was a long time. But nevertheless, what we see in this is that when God is approaching them and he's calling out to them in this spirit time of the day, in this Ruach of the day, is that it was something that had been done before. God was going to find them as he had found them before. God was anticipating them as he... Do you know your Father? You're on his heart and mind all the time. And he desires to have intimacy and presence. Now, we prescribe or we teach private worship and going into God. This is a part of our foundation. But if we realize that from the very beginning of our creation, that all the purpose of God, everything that he desired from the very beginning, was fellowship with sons and daughters. Now, man fell, Jesus came, restored us back. Good news. Ruach's restored. But it's only purposely restored. We're going to look at something, I believe, tomorrow, if the Lord allows, that the spirit time, or what was provided, or what was part of the heart of God in the garden to have this fellowship, now, of course, we know is restored in Christ positionally. We know that. We know born again. But just because you're born again doesn't mean you'll have, and to use this particular term, doesn't mean you'll have Ruach, doesn't mean you'll have spirit time with God. That's deliberate. Provision is for born again. But there is a transition over into the New Testament, and there's a word over there that we'll use tomorrow. It's basically comparable to spirit time or Ruach in the garden, that God's greatest desire, I didn't create you to be a prophet. I didn't create you to be an evangelist. I created you to be a son or a daughter. More than anything else, I want presence. I want fellowship. Adam, I didn't call you. I didn't create you. I didn't mold and breathe life into you so you could be a great preacher. I first and foremost created you for Ruach, to come to you in the middle or the part of the day, whatever is designated for you and I, and I'll look you up, Adam. I'll call your name. It wasn't a surprise to God that they fell. We know that He knows the beginning to the end. He knows that, but amazing things about God as He works with human beings. God calling out at Ruach or spirit time implies that He was, and I'll repeat this again, it was something of repetition and an anticipation with God. God Himself instituted Ruach or His spirit time or time of fellowship with His own personal, for His own personal pleasure. You think that we get benefit, and we do, but God has a pleasure in you. Dave used to say, you're a whole universe to God. He enjoys fellowship with you beyond your expectation to know and to understand. He enjoys that time of fellowship. The intimacy that He shared with His son and daughter, Adam and Eve, at Ruach shows His self-induced, I'll say it this way, I'll explain. It was His self-induced sense of vulnerability to be disappointed. In other words, God knew from the beginning to the end that there was going to be a disappointment. But yet I see it like this, Him going and calling out, it's almost, to put it in my human terms or vernacular, that God's almost skipping to Ruach or to the appointed spirit time or presence, wanting to get there to have fellowship with His sons and daughter. And I know God's everywhere at all, but there's a manifest presence. There's a manifest presence. There's a presence that covers. Listen, there's a manifest presence. He's everywhere, but He's not out on Jupiter and Mars like He is here when we're singing in the Spirit and shouting hallelujahs and Jamie's leading us or we're worshiping. That's manifest presence. But that manifest presence is for us on a continual and a daily basis. God wants us to understand more than ever before is that what this revival is supposed to be, it's the building blocks. And this isn't to divorce any part of the Word. Heaven and earth will pass away. My Word, Jesus said, He said to Satan that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But out of the Word, we have this admonition that I desire presence. I desire for my church to be saturated with the presence of God. Let's continue to look at this just for a little bit. God, I just want you to see this image that I'm seeing is God being sovereign has the innate, this is my way of saying it. You might say, you could say it better than this. Maybe you could. God being sovereign has the innate ability to step out of His omniscience, and that's a big word, but I mean His all-knowing, and live in the moment with His creation. I mean, He knew before they fell that they were going to fall. But it's amazing God has certain attributes that it's like He almost can, for lack of a better word, divorce Himself from His sovereignty and say, I know all things, but I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to act like, or in a certain sense, this is really going to surprise me. Because I'm living in the vulnerability of humanity. I'm living in a place where I feel what you feel and are touched with your infirmities as well. Genesis 3, 9, 10, and 11 says, And God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Well, we know He knew. And He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. This is what Adam said, And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And He said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, Genesis 3 is the record of the fall and the curse of mankind, and it's generally presented and understood of all the harsh things that came on mankind as the result of the fall. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but mankind is usually presented as the center part of the sufferer, or the one that's suffering, in chapter 3. But the real storyline is this, and this is where, if we understand, and this is not for this message is not for condemnation purposes, or a heavy of the fall or our lack of participation. But if you and I understand how the heart of God, how leaning He is, His heart is so, He's reaching out from the very beginning for this fellowship, for this intimacy. And if you and I can enter into these last days and allow this presence to saturate everything we do, then the staunchness, listen, it's one thing to stand at a Mark 11 and speak to the mountain, and we can do that. And we will do that. And I teach that. And it's one thing to declare. It's one thing to stand unabated and just stand, I'm not gonna stop. Dave used to say, I'll wear out all my trials. I won't stop. That's good. That's absolutely good. We're not saying anything contradictory to that. But there's a fuel. There's something beyond just more determination. There's something beyond just more adamant. There is a presence that is God desires to saturate us with in this day and hour, going all the way back from the pretense of what His heart was in the garden, that fuels every declaration, every decree, every standing. It's one thing to say, I call my body healed. And I'm not talking about emotions here. I'm not talking about that we have to feel it. Sometimes most of the times it's just faith. But I'm talking about a place where God's presence wants to get into your confessions. He wants to get into the meat of everything that you are going forward. And not that you have to feel it to confirm it, but God's presence in every part of your life will be that fuel that takes confession, takes the word, takes every other limb that we're walking in, and takes it to a place where it fuels it going forward. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If I had a bunch of money, I'd pay you all off. Listen, and if I don't have enough, I'm going to commission Brother Gary Carpenter. He's going to be at the back door tonight giving out fives and tens for everybody that shouted the Lord. Hallelujah. He's like, Bronk, I've heard that. That's old. Okay. Genesis 3 is the record of the fall and the curse. And as I said, it's generally presented and understood. Man, this is terrible what happened to man. But the storyline is, the real storyline is the broken heart of God and the Father who lost, you might say it this way, to capitalize on what, he lost Ruach, he lost spirit time, intimate fellowship, infidelity had revealed the infidelity of Adam and Eve going apart. And I'm not talking about a physical thing with Satan. I'm talking about a spiritual infidelity, an adultery that took place. Here's God looking for spirit time, Ruach, with His children, because that's the way He created them, and that's what His main purpose for. It wasn't to have preachers. We have to have preachers now because we're in the stage of redemption. But He created us for fellowship, and if we can understand that and go back to it, then it fuels us going forward. Hallelujah. So infidelity had revealed their nakedness, and God he would suffer, God would suffer for 4,000 years until Jesus comes along. Because it doesn't matter who or what or David or anybody. There was no spirit time. There was no ruach. There was no fellowship face to face like Adam and Eve had in those first, however long that little short time was. When they fell, everything then was through a curtain or through a symbolism. There was no face to face. Now we're in face to face. Are you glad? But what about the mystery of the Ruach time? Can we find that? We'll look at that maybe tomorrow morning. But when we look at the infidelity of them realizing, I'm looking around, this is, you know, I'll say it in a very modest way anyway. But when they realized they were naked, they were already naked before. But their, Jim talked about, and it wasn't the message, he just was exhorting, and he was saying he was thankful that in 42 years, his fidelity to his wife, both physically and emotionally inside, has always stayed intact. Thank God I can say the same thing. There's people that say that wasn't the case, but thank God for the blood of Jesus, right? Absolutely. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But here's God. And this is what we have to understand about how important intimacy was to him from the beginning and now restored in Christ, how absolutely it is important to him, is that he goes, for a lack of a better way to explain it, he goes skipping to Ruach or to the spirit time to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. And they say, he says, where are you? Well, he knew where they were at, but they said, we hid ourselves because we're naked. He caught them in a place that, now there's no, I don't guess, I've had friends that have been restored, and I'm glad. And as I said, by the blood of Jesus, there's nothing impossible. But I understand from people that there's no stronger punch in the gut than adultery or infidelity. When you're trusting, it's like they say it's almost worse than death or the death of a family member or a child. Because there's a trust. And God comes into the scene knowing all things, but yet, and for a lack of a better term, acting like, but he really was standing outside of the moment and saying, where are you? I'm expecting fellowship with you. See, this goes into another point right now, and wasn't necessarily expect, but here's the big question is, what are you and I doing with our Ruach time, our spirit time? It's not, can I say it this way? It's not good enough that we have a positional truth that says there's a presence that God wants to provide in this day and hour. But what is taking away from that presence? What is taking away from the presence that God is anticipating to say, please? I know the reason why. I know the reason why it hasn't manifested yet. I know the reason why. Well, I'm just going to keep praying in tongues. Keep praying in tongues. Because there's a lot we don't know. And that's part of it. That's part and partisan. But another part of it is in the place of intimacy. In the place of presence. In the place of restoration of the very, what Jesus Christ came back for was to restore us to a place of continual presence. How many of you believe that he walked in a place of continual presence? And his speaking to this or that or causing that to come forth was not just, it was a place of faith, but it was also a place of absolutely having spent time in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to, are you still okay for just a little bit? Because if you're not, we'll just, hallelujah. Say it, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll head to chicken, fried, whatever. So, but hallelujah. Let me read. And I'll try not to comment in that way. You know, we'll do okay here. Let me just read this prophecy that came. The word of the Lord came. It was by me, but it could have been by anyone that's walking in the Spirit. And this was in July of this past year, July 16th of 2023. And the title of this prophecy is All Things Are Subordinate. All things are subordinate to intimacy. You can find this on our website in the prophecy section. It's a little bit long, but if you'll stay with me, we'll be out in just a little bit. But just listen, because it goes along with the message of how important spirit time is and intimacy is with the Lord. The Lord said this, answers, answers, and more answers. For on this path that I'm offering you is a path filled with continual answers of the heart, says the Spirit of grace. Not of the intellect and not of the mind, but those things that go deep into the core of the Spirit and bring forth a solidification, an absolute, a place of knowing who you are. And I, as a father, am desiring a place of intimate fellowship with you that answers all the questions of the heart, says the Spirit of grace. For those things that have come up, even from a child, in wondering concerning the questions of life and family and your pursuit of happiness, I have put in this path. And it's not only a sure and steadfast path into power and demonstration and the propagation, the harvest of the gospel, but it is to the individual. I'm not employing, I like this, I'm not employing employees on this journey. I'm bringing forth sons and daughters. I'll not treat you as a subject to be used in the harvest only at my pleasure and then set you aside. For I desire intimacy and to answer and to supply to you first. My objective is not the worldwide harvest at your expense. For to all my sons and daughters that are already in, my first and foremost objective is to come and lavish on you my love and to build you up, getting you past all the crippled places that may not be evident to the world or society or to those who think they know you most. But it is those places and those secret rooms of the heart in which I desire to come and fill up those places and to bring forth healing and ministry and deliverance from fears and internal anxieties. I desire harvesters that are healed. Harvesters that are healed. And those that know and feel the experience of my love, they step out on that place. This is not a business. It's not a promotion for a man or men. It's a family. And you, my sons and daughters, are part of that. And those that are out there watching and listening, I don't want your call first. I don't want your call first. I want you. You can give me no greater gift than to give me you in prayers, seekings, and intimacy. And oftentimes your heart is, what can I do? Let me out of the chute. Let me go. I want to do and I want to work and I want to do and go and be for you. And all these things will come about, but I want you. I want you. I want you beyond miracles. I want you before great works. I want you, says the Spirit of grace. No one can stand as in a surrogate for you. Not a husband, not a wife, not a friend, not a pastor, not an elder. No one can stand in that place. I can't go through someone else to express the intimacy and the desire, the things that a father says to a daughter and things that a father says to a son. Getting close. I must have you. See to this, that in all that you are called to and all that you believe that I have spoken to you concerning your call, your ministry, and going forward on this path, see that nothing, no thrill of success, no thrill of having accomplished even instructions from me, nothing replaces that place of that time alone where there's just you and I. For me to come and lavish, this was my desire with Adam and Eve, and I didn't preach this and after this, but it's amazing how close this is. This was my desire with Adam and Eve. I did not create them for the purpose of evangelism of the world. I created them for the intimacy that I could share with them on a daily basis. The calls and evangelism and the necessity for the harvest came about because of the fall. But you must know that first and foremost is the place that nothing replaces it. Not any great work, not any great accomplishment, not saluting and going and doing and being and prospering in the thing whereunto I send you. It's real. Hey, he's our commander in chief. We salute smartly and do what he says. But he wants it out of intimacy. I'm going to speak to the mountain whether I feel like it or not, but my God, if I've spent some time under the saturation of the Holy Spirit, the blatancy of the Word becomes alive. I'm a Word man. I'll just spend, be a Word man, be a Word woman. But sit in presence until presence fills up and fills the Word that you speak with presence. And intimacy. Hallelujah, almost done. Stop. Don't preach, bro. All is subordinate to this place of knowing me face to face. All is subordinate to that. Every gift that can be brought forth in the church for the edification of the church is subordinate to that. But I have searched for people throughout the ages that I could know face to face. Through what I gave them in the inheritance of my son. And I found in this generation, good news, those seeking me here and those other places desiring. And the message is the same, last paragraph. Even in your dying to the flesh, the mortification process is subordinate to intimacy. Nothing is to be done in a cookie cutter fashion as formulas. Even mortification has no formulas. The formula is to know me, to seek to know me. All fastings, all prayers, all giving of thanks circumvents around my original desire for men's and sons and daughters for the purpose of communion. If you'll do these things, you'll be highly exalted. You'll be highly exalted, and my exaltation will be to glorify Jesus through you. But never forget, never in prosperity or never in the move of the Spirit, never at any moment, what all things are subordinate to. And of course, he's speaking of intimacy. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. We did pretty good, time-wise. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. Would you lift up these paddles for just a moment? Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for what you're bringing us into. not only in the days ahead, but in specific this week, your presence, your glory, your grace. We love you, Jesus. Why don't you just tell him? Just go ahead and tell him. Just for a little bit. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are worthy. You are so worthy, Jesus. And we give you all the praise. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. Bless your people this night with rest, peace, good night's rest. Thank you for your word. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We will see you in the morning. Don't go anyplace. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you can go someplace now, but not anyplace. Yeah.